This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This play, as you know, is an automatic.
Here we go. Brotherly shove. They shove. There is. And they're in.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I think it looks ugly, but it looks like rugby. I don't like the pushing. That's the only thing. I just don't like it, and it's ugly, and it's tough to officiate.
Earlier on the show, two-time Super Bowl champion and Greenlight podcast host, Chris Long. Still to come, your phone calls, Overreaction Monday, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's correct. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. It's a Monday. It's hour two. That means Overreaction Monday is the centerpiece of this here hour right here on the Roku channel. Great stuff with our friend Chris Long in hour number one. If you missed it, we re-air. Don't you dare worry. We also have, however, two great fun hours with you to come. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Our guys are in their spots. Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo. We're full strength. TJ Jefferson, good to see you over there. You and I had a great weekend professionally on Sunday. We crushed the bye.
Yeah,
Jets
no
and the
doubt.
Cowboys absolutely destroyed the bye.
It gave you kind of an whoosome.
Yeah.
Didn't have to like get mad. Didn't have to throw the remote.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, teams within our division lost. Well, we just sat back and kicked our feet up and watched it all go down.
Gotta love it.
So when I was in London a long time ago, like last week,
hello, bruv.
And we spoke to John Harbaugh about playing the Titans in London and, you know, why they decided to come for the entire week and not the last second. And, you know, and I thought there would be some sort of remarkably deep, thoughtful answer from a thoughtful head coach that's been around for 16 years in his gig. And he's just like, last time we came in late and got our asses handed to us. So we just decided to do the opposite. And I'm like thinking to myself, do I say full Costanza to him? Because I don't know if he would get it or not. So I didn't. I just saved it for the broadcast. Went full Costanza. Sometimes you just sit there and you go with your gut. You go with your instinct. And I don't know. Did you know NFL teams give you the option, if you play internationally, of deciding whether you want the bye after your game or not?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Will you explain that to me last time you were on there?
They tell you, hey, you're playing internationally. Okay. We knew that. Okay. You're playing week six. Do you want the bye? And they're like, okay, it's week six. That's when it's. No, we don't. John Harbaugh says, we do not want the bye. He said they specifically refused it because they want it later in the season. As a matter of fact, their bye happens in week 14.
Oh, that's got to be the last week, right?
So he, you know, that was it. I don't think you can choose when your bye is if you say no after your London or Germany or international game. But they just essentially decided we're going to play our London game and we're going to go home and we're going to deal with whatever time changes there are and we're not taking a bye. And I will just say, looking at their results from yesterday, good decision. Nice choice. Because they came back from London
worked out,
and they looked like they were on Eastern time the entire time they were in London, because they came back and played. It's amazing. When they decided to change how they approached the London game, they did that because it was the worst loss in John Harbaugh's tenure when they went late in their other London game. 44-6 they lost, and he's like, we're going to do the opposite. And they come home and come up with one of the best wins of John Harbaugh's tenure. Clearly, there were many ones in the playoffs and obviously winning a Super Bowl against his brother of all coaches. That's pretty big. This one is huge in terms of regular season W's because they decided to do the opposite of what they have been doing on offense by deciding Greg Roman out, Todd Monken in. We're going to change our offense, not completely, but they did it, by the way, at a time when Lamar Jackson was tweeting out, I'm not playing for you anymore. I want to trade. And they decided to do all of this stuff, assuming it would all work out with Lamar, although I imagine during these time periods, they thought this might not go the way they wanted to go with Lamar coming back. And to their credit and Lamar's, keep it together. Don't say anything stupid in public that could make things worse from, I guess, the team side of things, get Lamar back in and start playing an offensive mindset that has Lamar in the pocket more, has him having plays dialed up for his abilities as a thrower. And after yesterday's game, we have a GIF of the moment during this entire process of making the change and now realizing what the change has brought about. There it is, right there, Rick Dalton. That's it. Yesterday's game, it's a Rick Dalton GIF. That's it. That's it. Lamar thrown for over 300. And by the way, finding Gus Edwards on an 80-yard sort of dump-off pass. And we're going to find Ricard, our fullback, for 28. We're going to get Zay Flowers involved. We're going to get Bateman involved. We're going to get, you know, Odell involved. And, of course, Mark Andrews scores two touchdowns on National Tight Ends Day. And on top of it, let's get five sacks with Kyle Van Noy, we just brought in, getting a couple of them. And let's get Owe back. And let's get the defensive secondary buzzing around and taking a team like the Detroit Lions, who are going to come in and they've been putting their calling cards everywhere. They've been putting pelts on the wall for a year. From the Kansas City Chiefs banner-raising night to Aaron Rodgers trying to make the playoffs one last time as a Packer. That night, they've been putting their markers and pelts everywhere, and the Ravens took their foot and broke it off you know where. And this has been a Lions team that has been crushing people, and they crushed their will. Mission accomplished in Week 7 for the Baltimore Ravens, who are the team nobody talks about because maybe you don't have anybody more than Lamar or Mark Edwards, or if you picked up Justice Hill or Gus Edwards in your fantasy league when J.K. Dobbins went down, you don't talk about him. But man, that looked like an offensive mindset and a defensive mindset that will be tough to beat as Baltimore heads to Arizona next before home for Seattle. Then they play their division games at home against Cleveland at Cincinnati on a Thursday night. Then they're at the Chargers here before their bye. Home for the Rams at Jacksonville will be a significant Sunday night game. Significant before a measuring stick game on Christmas Day against the 49ers. Home for the Dolphins and Pittsburgh. Fun games in store. Let's keep eight healthy. My God, let's keep eight healthy, because this is a special win for the Ravens. Let me talk a little bit about the Lions, who I have been talking up.
Yeah,
I put them, I believe, fourth on my power rankings this week. See what happens when I put them in the top five.
Stephen A. had them number one.
Well, and then there's been reason for it, you know? There's been reason for it. Again, the Lions, let me get this number exactly correct. The Lions coming into this game, four in a row, they won them all by at least 14. They'd scored at least 20 in 15 consecutive games, only six yesterday, and they were lucky to get it. Goff was living with somebody wearing purple in his lap the whole day. Amon-Ra St. Brown, God bless this guy. He still came up with 100 yards passing, but he earned every last one of them. And clearly, you know, this is one of those throw the tape out games. And that's exactly what the coach Dan Campbell had to say. I've been playing his sound bites after wins. Let's be fair and balanced. This is exactly what he had to say after getting his you-know-what handed to him.
They played well. They kicked our ass. And it's a credit to them. Lamar beat us. He hammered us with his arm. You know, he threw the ball extremely well. He ran when he needed to. And we did not handle it well. Look, we just didn't play well. And I hate to say it, that's one of those games. It was one of those we just could not get out of our own way. And it's a credit to those guys over there, man. They played outstanding football, and they rubbed their nose in it.
I think this is one of those that the Lions are going to learn from. I'll take it that way. That's the way I'm going to go. And I have a feeling I smell an overreaction Monday subject matter either in our segment version that's coming up in this hour or the podcast version that we're recording after the show, Chris Brockman.
Or both.
Or both. Sounds good. What do you make of it, TJ?
About Lamar or the Lions?
The Lions.
I was more thinking about Lamar. The Lions, it is what it is. I mean, look, man, you're not going to go 17-0.
That's exactly what I said on game day morning when I chose the Ravens. I said, I think the Lions are going to go 13-4. And this is one of the final three losses of their season.
I mean,
that they're going to.
But they did get stalled out But, you know, I was kind of looking up stats for Lamar, guys, and here's just something I found to be interesting. You know how many current MVPs out of the – how many 100 players are in the league? You know how many current players have won an MVP in the NFL?
Well, since Brady's gone, I'd imagine
– Are we counting Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Three.
Him, Rodgers, and
I just
Mahomes.
He is all that, and
that's part of the reason why I'm with the Lions sitting here going, that is a tough hombre to try and when Lamar was doing Lamar things, extending a play, and instead of running it into the end zone like he would have pretty much every single time in the last several years, he stayed in the pocket and he followed Nelson Aguilar. Favorite of the Eagles fans, and he found him for a touchdown. And, you know,
I was like, hey, he caught it.
Right. And so the Lions, I would just say this, bury the tape, move on. Their next game is against the Raiders. Okay. And I have a feeling that they are a better team than the Raiders and they have a bye. And so I think, you know what they missed? They missed David Montgomery. It's unreal how this guy, this kid they picked up from the Bears is exactly their id. To use the phrase again that I used about Sirianni and the Eagles, he's their hit you in the mouth guy. He's their red zone threat that leads you to touchdowns instead of settled for field goals. He's that guy. I don't know if he would have made a difference the way that everything played yesterday.
He would not have.
But I think he would have stemmed some of the tide when the Ravens scored four touchdowns before the Lions even got a first down yesterday, which is what happened.
Well.
So, again, I would sit here. Gibbs did play well, but he's not that guy that goes and puts his big boy pants on. He's still a rookie. Yeah. Put on your big boy pants and go into these front seven monsters led by Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen and Matabike and Owe and all of those guys that you need to put your big boy pants on, and Montgomery is their big boy pants guy. And that offensive line that normally can impose its will didn't have a chance to do it yesterday. And that's why I would also kind of look at the trade market if I'm them too, or call up Fournette. Like, because if Montgomery goes down, you know, obviously Craig Reynolds not being there either is significant. I would just, if I'm the Lions, you got a shot here. You got a shot here to not just win your division as the Vikings take on the 49ers tonight. By the way, Christian McCaffrey's going to play. It was just reported. That you've got a shot here at your division. And you've got a shot here, you know, it didn't help that you got curb stomped while the Eagles won. And that the Niners might take another step forward that you were able to get back last week. You were able to catch up to him record-wise last week. I don't know. Like, you're going to need big boy pants on when you're going against the front seven of Philadelphia or the front seven of Dallas or the front seven of San Francisco. And if Montgomery's not there, yesterday's game to me would signal to the front office to start thinking about what can be done over the next week before next Tuesday. Just my two cents coming out of that. But I think the Lions are still winning this division. I would just take note of it, bury the tape, bury the Raiders, go on the bye week, come back, play the rest of your games indoors, which they do, which is, honestly, that game in Baltimore, take a look at Detroit's schedule. I know we just popped it up. The rest of the way, their only outdoor game is week 14 at Chicago. Everything else is in a dome. At Minnesota, at Dallas, at New Orleans, at the Chargers, their home games. I'm not concerned about the Lions. But I would kind of look in the market for a little bit more, you know,
oomph,
cement in the pants at the running back spot if Montgomery can't go.
Also, just to piggyback on what Chris Long said, kind of important for them to get a home playoff game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because
Do you think for them to be on the road?
I'm just saying a little bit of elements. Well, I'm just saying.
You're talking about in the second go,
right,
second round,
divisional round, or championship game potentially if they get to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
It's cold. It's windy. There's some rain.
You're going to need to bring. And Montgomery better be healthy for that one. That's all I'm saying. That's what I take out of yesterday. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls. Overreaction Monday. Bills and Patriots game. Want to focus on that one?
Do we have to?
Yes, we do. Chris, you won. Congratulations.
No.
All right, we'll get to that. In the meantime, go to your phone or any mobile device that you have and download the Game Time app. You will be thankful. And we are thankful of our relationship with Game Time because the frustrating ticket buying experience of our lives is over. Don't worry when you're buying tickets to your next big event anymore. You can buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you thanks to Game Time. Fast and easy, killer last-minute deals. See the view from your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices. I cannot tell you how enjoyable that is because you know your total upfront. You know you're getting a great deal without the hidden fees, and you can buy tickets in as simple as two taps in seconds. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Restrictions apply. Create an account, redeem the code RICH, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Overreaction Monday coming up. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell us about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's so fun and so easy. You know I love this stuff. You pick two or more players based on their stats and place their entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks. Boom, you're part of the action. And they have weekly promotions that can lead to big prizes. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. I'm more invested in the outcome and I get real-time updates. Like this weekend, you know, if I'm thinking about a certain Indianapolis quarterback going over his rushing yards or maybe a Pittsburgh receiver getting more than his allotted catches, there I am, boom. I love it. I love Prize Picks. You should too.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
Back here on the show, let's talk Myles Garrett in Indianapolis. He was a game wrecker, a game changer. He was the player of the game. He, you know, don't hate the player, hate the game, whatever you want to say. He was unbelievable. He had a strip sack twice, including one in the end zone, and then blocked a 60-yard field goal by leaping over the center, the snapper, which nobody does because invariably if you just whisper a touch of the snapper, it will be a 15-yard leverage penalty on you. And instead, he was able to, you know, it's no surprise, as he crossover dribbles on defense, he was able to leap over the snapper and block the field goal without touching the snapper. And Myles Garrett was asked afterwards how he did that.
Depends if you're me or not.
Sorry if I'm you, it's not that hard.
If you're me, it's another day at the office.
Damn straight it is.
Another day.
What an answer. Hey, how are you able to do it? Why are others unable to do it? How are you able to do it? Depends if you're me or not.
I'm him.
And it, by the way, it's very difficult to say those words with a smile on your face and people not go, what's the matter with him? Instead, everybody sees that and goes, yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
You holding up your grease board right there, him for MVP, because PJ Walker's won two games now and Deshaun, you know, this conversation about him maybe going on IR because he looked terrible before he got knocked out of that game with a concussion. Yeah. And Stefanski called him day-to-day. And I know after the game he goes, he's our starter next week because I'm sure he doesn't want any sort of conversation locally. P.J. Walker is our guy. He should be our guy. Quarterback controversy and what have you. they are not in that position without Myles Garrett doing what he's doing. The Grim Reaper is reaping, and it is grim when you are trying to do anything against him. Wow.
He's dominating.
And by the way, it does depend on if you're him or not. Facts. Great job. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Matt in Oklahoma, one of our longtime listeners. It's been a while, sir. What's going on in your neck of the woods?
A whole lot of everything. I don't know. My Bills need to wake up. They're going through 2.5 quarters every game. The offense, like, oh, we can come back when we want to. And then they're playing against crappy teams, playing like crap. You know what they need to do? You need to unleash Josh Allen. We need Josh Allen from 1.5 years ago. He looks like he's thinking about it too much. Just let Josh Allen be Josh Allen, get the hell out of his way, and let him drop 40 on everybody. Won't have to worry about the defense being bad or injuries or whatever else. Just unleash Josh Allen. It's simple. Unleash him. That's all we got to do, Rich. Just unleash
I don't
Allen.
Know, man, because, again, there's not really one thing that you could put a finger on. I honestly
I don't think so.
I
don't know what's going on. I think there's a problem with Dorsey, the OC. I think there's drama between him and McDermott, but they won't say it publicly. There's something going on there. There's something not right, and they need to figure it out because they're too good on offense to be playing like that. There's something wrong. I need to make a phone call. They need to let me talk to them. I don't know what
Well,
it is.
I mean, maybe they'll see what you're talking about, Matt, and I appreciate the call.
I don't know. Something's wrong, man. Just unleash Josh Allen. Just do it for one game. I promise you it'll look much better.
Matt, appreciate the call. That's Matt in Oklahoma. So there you go. Chris Brockman. Hey, we just heard from a Buffalo Bills fan seeming to be in the dumps and very concerned about the future of their franchise, let alone this season that now rests at 4-3. And yet, you are not happy about being the team to place these Bills fans in that position.
No.
Why is that, Chris? I thought that was a great Patriot win on Sunday.
Why would I be happy?
Because the Patriots aren't 1-6 and looking terrible and being a laughingstock of the league and actually bowing up and showing that they aren't going to quit on a season and that they're going to be able to perform like Mac Jones, missing on only 5 of 30 passes, scoring a touchdown at the end after they blew a lead. A turnover leading to Buffalo coming off the mat and beating you on Mike Vrabel Hall of Fame Day? Come on, man. Like, these are the things you want to do.
No, you do. No. What's the point? Not going to the playoffs. You're not winning the Super Bowl. So what, do you want to go 7-10 and have a draft pick in the teens? That's pointless. We need to rebuild. We need to get a high pick so we can either accumulate assets or draft a new quarterback of the future, okay?
You can
so you're not going to do that by winning games and just being, like, super little, slightly below average.
This guy.
It's stupid. It's pointless.
This guy.
The dumbest win of Bill's career.
Didn't this team once get maybe, arguably, the greatest quarterback ever?
Where did they choose him? Overall?
199?
That means nothing.
Why?
That means nothing.
What are you talking about?
Why are you comparing something that happened 25 years ago? It doesn't matter.
Because you don't need a top 10 pick to have a game-changing quarterback.
Yes,
Brock Purdy was the final pick in the draft.
Purdy is... come on, guys. Get off of the Brock Purdy thing, okay? Josh Allen, where did he get drafted?
7th.
Lamar Jackson, first round. What about
32nd?
Come on, first round pick.
You kind of made your own.
Stop it.
Point.
Pointless. We need a top pick. This is stupid.
I'll tell you what.
No one in the stadium wanted them to win.
That's untrue.
Bob Kraft deep down doesn't want them
to win. That's untrue.
No Patriots fan watching the game at home wanted them to win.
Mac Jones
himself deep down didn't want to win.
Doubt it. I think you're way off.
It's insane.
I think you're way off, and I think that
the season is over. It's pointless.
No, it's not.
Get ready for 2024,
dude. Why can't they go in and
Why can't they go on a run and make the playoffs? Because that's stupid. What? So they can lose by 40 again to Buffalo in the playoffs?
So, but I don't understand why having a top 5 pick is the game changer. You already got that kid Christian Gonzalez, who unfortunately got hurt. He seems to be a nice cornerstone. Defensive cornerstones exist as well. And look, man, my opinion is this. You want to take your opponent within your division that has suddenly started kicking your ass all over the lot.
Great.
When you were,
and you can take a moral victory. Like, there's no need to throw a touchdown with no time left to win the game.
I get your point.
Kick a field goal, lose in overtime, moral victory, move on.
You want to leave your rival in a complete mess. They do it to the Jets all the time, and they did. Now you take a look at the Buffalo Bills coming off of this game.
Oh, their season's over, too.
Their season is not over.
Oh, come on.
They're 4-3 right now, and my concern for the Bills is their recent struggles, despite beating Miami, their recent struggles, you cannot put your finger on an exact reason why. They just seem to be off. They seem to be, they were jet-lagged in London, or they were sleepwalking against the Giants, or they just did what they did against New England, started slow again. And defensively, they lose a ton of great players, but they still make plays. It doesn't appear to be one thing or another. It's not like even in week one where Josh Allen turned things over multiple times. And Stephon Diggs is still getting open. He still did score a touchdown. They still are moving, but it just always seems to be a shooting in the foot. That's the thing about I'm concerned about for them. And here was Josh Allen asked this very question about what's up on after the loss on Sunday.
When you say execution, Josh, I mean, you get to a point as an offense when you do execute. But it is kind of a pattern now within games where it's slow. Is it recognition of what defenses are doing? I don't want to put words in your mouth. What is it that's preventing you from getting to where you need to be earlier in games?
Well, I wish I knew the exact answer because we'd have it fixed by now. So I'm going to watch this film and find a way to get there, whatever it is. Our season's not over. It's a long season. I know it feels pretty bleak right now, but, we're going to figure it out.
I mean, they're 4-3. The issue with that is they are bringing two tie breaks that are not working in their favor into more of a threat with each passing week of sleepwalking. Here are the two of them. One of them's on the screen. The ultimate disastrous one is the Jets.
Right.
They have the same number of losses as the team that beat them in week one. And the Jets, the team that I saw yesterday, if they don't figure out offensively what they can do or have used to do, if they don't figure that thing out yet, the Jets come in week 11. All right? The Jets come in week 11. And if the Jets continue to stay around in the orbit of the Bills, is it possible they would knock the Bills out of, say, a 6 or a 7 seed and just send the Bills home and miss the playoffs entirely? That's a crazy scenario, but it is every single time that they sleepwalk, it brings it into play. Now, the one that I still think is the tiebreak that's going to really hurt them is the loss to Jacksonville, because that's the one that can cause them, if they don't win this division, again, they've got the tiebreak against Miami in their back pocket. That's their saving grace to try and win this division. They're still only, thanks to the loss from the Dolphins last night, they're only a game behind them. And the Dolphins have the Chiefs coming up, so are the Bills. But, you know, these are the games that the Jacksonville one that could send the Bills on the road in a divisional round. That's one that can really come home to roost. They've got to start winning games, man. The problem for them also
is their schedule is
the games
so hard.
Are against Cincinnati. They're against Kansas City. Their first place schedule is coming at Philadelphia, home for Dallas.
Dallas, Chargers, and then the two games to end the year.
So these are the issues for the Bills right now that I'm genuinely concerned for them about that. Because they just don't look, and again, maybe, just maybe, do you go ahead and make a big splash at next week's deadline just to that's a reset. Bring a big, big-ass name player in at running back Although Saquon winning doesn't help.
I mean, he got hurt again.
That doesn't help either. Derrick Henry's on a bye. I don't know if he's available or not, but I don't know if you take a home run swing and just say, we added another piece. That's the way we're resetting. Let's go. That's the juice we need in this offense right here. Do you call up Carolina and say, Thielen, is he another guy?
You'd call the Raiders.
Raiders and just make a Hail Mary for Davante Adams?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the answer. But again, I know what you're feeling about, you want to, the season's over, it's all about championships or not. It still is a week-to-week league, man, and those are still some grown-ass men in the Patriots locker room, and they came up with a win, and Mac needed that in the worst way. And let's see what
the best game he's played probably in a year and a half.
It is, and they needed it in the worst way, and it was also the 300th win of Bill Belichick's career, and the way he took that news after the game just shows you how, you know, significant a milestone this is, and that is today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Well, we prefer to win.
Bill, what is your reaction to becoming the third head coach with 300 wins behind Don Shula and George Halas?
It's great. I'm really more focused on, you know, our team and this year, and worry about that later. Thank you.
Once again, Mike Reese playing straight man.
Thank you.
In our Bill Belichick press conference moment.
That's great.
If I may I dare to actually tell you
that's great.
What Belichick is thinking.
I mean, you could
if not, no, don't worry about it. You don't
I
need.
I got it.
No, you know.
What were they really thinking?
You know, I mean, we just pulled one out of, you know, our orifice here, and you know, things aren't as great as they can be. But you know, I'm not going to sit here, Mike, and tell you know, hey, this is the greatest thing in my entire life. You know, I mean, we got to get ready for Miami, which isn't easy, and things aren't working that great. But in all honesty, like, I've been around this guy for 2 days at NFL Films and saw him look at the walls and look at it. History means a lot to him.
Oh, for sure.
And
it
is, I mean, come on.
I'm sure it's
Halas, Shula, Belichick, come on now. That is an unbelievable milestone number of W's. 300.
I mean, that's so
that great. Is remarkable.
A lot of wins.
And, hey, Ian Rappaport on NFL Network, he kind of knocked me over with a feather of that report. All this talk about hot seat this, hot seat that. He quietly signed a contract extension that's highly lucrative before the season. So he's going nowhere, man. Nobody. I know.
3-14 changes things.
Maybe, I guess. But I don't think you're going 3-14. Again, Ramondre Stevenson, ladies and gentlemen, he was, and Zeke scored. That's the what you want. Gesicki scored. Zeke scored. That's it, man.
Great.
Season is not over.
Look at me. It's like role reversal. I'm like, come on, man. Nah. Put on a happy face.
What are we getting excited about?
Here's what we're going to do. You're going to take a phone call, and then we'll do Overreaction Monday after segment. Here's what we're going to do. That's the way I'm going to call the plays here.
You are the quarterback.
Let's go to Dennis in San Diego. What's up, Dennis?
Well, hello, boys. Hey, Rich.
What's going on,
Dennis?
It's been tough. So, you know, I've been a Charger fan since I was at the game the day Dan Fouts took over for the Chargers.
Damn, man.
Whoa. So I've been in it for the long haul. Watching them over the last several years is, I think, first of all, I think the point that you hear in the media a lot is that they have, you know, a super talented team. And I just got to tell you, I think that a lot of that talent is massively overrated. When you watch them play, they don't do the fundamentals correctly. They miss tackles. They don't stay in their defensive lanes. And yesterday, when quarterbacks like Mahomes get out of the pocket and run freely, yeah, that gives the defenders more time to have to cover. They can't stay in those coverages, and that just leaves massive parts of the defensive secondary wide open. And guys like Mahomes can make those throws over the middle of the field, and it just killed the Chargers yesterday. Just killed them.
The thing that I don't understand, Dennis, thanks for the call, and we're going to dive into this a little bit deeper in the third hour, is how does Kelce get so damn wide open? How does that happen against the Chargers?
All the time.
More than anybody else. How the hell does that happen? I mean, it's just
they're playing zone.
Then switch it up. I know you want to go. You need to go zone just in case Mahomes takes off.
That was the stupidest play ever.
315.
They got everybody lined up on the first down line, and Mahomes just runs like, what are we doing?
I don't know what the answer is there at all. But how about somebody from San Diego still showing his lightning bolt? Can't quit people sometimes.
React to me.
844-204-RICH, number to dial when we come back. Over Reaction Monday, still to come. Our review of collegiate football this weekend. That's coming up in hour number three. And then we'll talk Raiders, Chargers, Chiefs, Taylor and Travis. Hour number three, still to come.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
Where did Stephon come from? Did that, was that?
That came from two things. John Mulaney wrote that with me. And John, it deserves a lot of credit for Stephon because he wrote so much of the rhythm of that and the specifics of it. And clearly, I found it funny because I laughed every time we did it. Mm-hmm. I don't think we ever did it where I didn't laugh. John will put in different things, or he'll tell me as I'm walking out.
I'll tell you, I know you're not supposed to laugh at this stuff and break in the middle of a scene, but that's just amazing.
Oh, I broke
amazing.
Every time. You yeah, did? The first time was we had a club promoter named Amnesia Bernstein, and it didn't really get anything. And then he goes, Amnesia Bernstein didn't really get anything. And he goes, I'll change it to something else. And then as I was walking out, he goes, I changed Amnesia Bernstein to Gay Liotta. And I started laughing. So the minute I roll out, I'm like, Gay Liotta. All right, the other one was, the other one that made me laugh was he said, he'll change little things. We had written also at the club was, a two-year-old Ultimate Fighter, Julie Lips Jackson. He's got fists like empanadas, and he's addicted to ecstasy. That's what we wrote. And then he wrote, so it was like two-year-old Ultimate Fighter, Julie Lips Jackson. He's got fists like empanadas, and they turned the cue card. And it said, and he's my best friend. So when he turns the card, it says, and he's my best friend.
Oh my
and
God.
I lost
oh
it.
My God.
I was like, John.
I am laughing
and,
so hard.
And behind the cue cards, Pazman, I can see him and Sandberg up against the wall just like watching me laughing like, get through this, dude.
Man, I love that guy. So much fun. Go check out all of our youtube.com/RichEisen Show archived material. Tonight, you can stream the NFL on Westwood One for free as you can all season long, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station digital platforms. That's right. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner on the call. I'm in the studio for free and get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. It is a Monday. It is a Monday, and it is time. It is time for the segment version. We'll do the podcast version after class for you to download wherever you get your podcasts or on our YouTube page. Hit it. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction.
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, have at it. What do you got?
Hey, what's up, guys?
I am Will.
Everybody good?
Hi, Chris. I'm sorry. I didn't wait for you to.
Yeah, you jumped the gun.
I'm sorry.
You doing all right?
I thought I had the play.
Good?
Yeah. What's up?
Stealing signs again?
Nope. That's exactly what I do.
Whoa.
Yep. That's what I do.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, TJ. How you, man?
Oh, my God.
Just
get to it.
Just another Manic Monday.
What's
going
on?
The Lions are not ready for prime time.
Okay. That's an overreaction.
They're just not ready. Look, here's the deal. They had a shot. The whole country was watching them. Big time to go in there and show everyone who you are.
They didn't do that on the night the Chiefs raised the banner?
When was that? I already forgot about that.
Okay.
This is what have you done for me lately in the NFL?
That's why it's overreaction
28
Monday.
28-0 before you even took the field. What are you doing?
Uh-oh. I mentioned how earlier on to start the show that the Dolphins are the AFC's team this year to have the who have you really beaten? Maybe it's the Lions now, huh? The Chiefs minus Kelce and Chris Jones. They couldn't beat Seattle. They beat Atlanta. They won at Green Bay. They've beaten Carolina. They beat Tampa and Tampa. And then they get curb stomped in Baltimore.
Take out week one. The Giants have yet to beat a playoff
team. Get out of here. They are a really good team. They're an excellent team other than this past weekend.
They can't play outside of the comfort of their dome.
Bury the tape.
Outside of a dome, what are they?
Bury the tape. Move on. Tip your cap. Move on. And maybe get some help at the running back position in case Montgomery goes down. You need a little bit more, gumption, seat in the pants in that position when you're going against a front seven like Baltimore's. And you're going to have to get ready for Dallas's. You're going to have to get ready for Philadelphia's or San Francisco's as well. But I'll call this an overreaction. What else you got over there, Chris?
All right, same game. Flip side.
Yep.
The Ravens are the best challenge to the Chiefs in the AFC right
you
now.
You could make that case, pal. Oh, yeah, you can make that case. Now, obviously, maybe the Dolphins are. And I'll be able to, with my own two eyes and my voice sitting in the booth in Frankfurt, Germany, calling that game for NFL Network to kick things off on a Sunday in week 9. But you betcha, that is not an overreaction at all. Let's see them defensively deal with 8 and the running game, and that front 7 can play defense in a way that makes sure, let's put it this way, Kelce won't be so damn wide open like he was against the Chargers, one would think, against this defense. Yeah. I would agree with you. Ravens can keep the ball away from the Chiefs and make them frustrated while Mahomes stands on the sidelines for a long time. Fact.
And
I agree with it.
The new offense, I think we've been waiting to see.
I agree with
it. You know, for it to kind of come together and gel.
Yeah.
Best it's looked so far this season, 357 yards, 3 touchdowns for Lamar Jackson.
And they haven't really gotten the passing game to wide receivers going significantly yet. Yeah, that's the next thing to work
Beckham,
on.
Odell Beckham, Rashad Bateman appearance yesterday. Yep. It was nice to see those guys involved. And obviously on tight end day, Mark
I'm with
Andrews.
You. That's a good subject. Yeah. I agree. Check mark there. What else?
Okay, now, it happened yesterday in town. And I know like we didn't go, Mike, but hold on a second.
Whose house?
Hold on a second. The Steelers are 4-2?
Yeah, they are.
Like, what?
Yeah, but what's... What's the question?
What's the question? They're 4. Have you seen this team play?
Yeah.
Their offense couldn't score on us. How are they 4-2?
They beat people up.
So I don't know. What do you want me to say? The fact that you're acting this way is an overreaction?
I want you to convince me. Like, how are they 4-2?
Okay, here you go.
How?
First of all.
Thank you, Steve.
But that's the wrong soundbite. That's the wrong drop. You know the drop about not apologizing.
Oh.
You know? Come on now.
Two. That's right. I got two.
That's
got
the
two.
Winner.
And by your phone, man. I may need
that. That's not it. Good Lord.
Now you're just stalling. You're just wasting time to get to the real drop.
No.
Honestly, how are they 4-2?
Here's how they're 4-2.
I've seen this team play. Kenny Pickett is very below average.
Hold on a second.
Offense, you know, they can't run the ball.
Here's how they do it. Here's
you're
how
they do it. Not going to apologize for winning.
Correct. Thank you, Mike. God bless it.
Third time's a charm.
Defensively, they're really good. They got a defensive player of the year candidate in TJ Watt who can drop into coverage and pick you off. My God, that was huge. That was huge because, you know, they got a break, the Rams, by Tutu Atwell intercepting an interception at the end of the first half and walking it in. And then the Rams got the ball first in the second half, and TJ Watt flipped the script. And how about this one? They've got a really good young wide receiver in Pickens, and the fourth quarter, is it picket time? Do we call it picket time?
They just play like garbage for 45 minutes.
He becomes a different quarterback in the fourth quarter.
It's like he wants like the Tebow. Pressure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's picket time.
Sustainable.
It's picket. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. Najee got going. Jalen Warren got in the end zone. Both Warren and Najee got in the end zone. That's the way to win football games. And you got a hell of a coach who just sells stuff and they buy it.
Steelers are just going to win ugly football games and beat you up while doing it. That's
hey, maybe
that's
you should want to. Let's see if we can get used to this.
Never say never, but never.
Next up, baby, home for Jacksonville, and then a Thursday night. take your heart pills and buckle up. You got the Tennessee Titans coming into town, and then Green Bay comes into town. Then they're at Cleveland, at Cincinnati, home for Arizona, home for New England on a Thursday night, going against the first ever in-season tournament semifinal game out there in Vegas at Indianapolis. Hey, man, the Steelers.
Steelers should win 10 games out of that.
They won't be just
10 games.
That's like flash forward to a late November Overreaction Monday subject of the Steelers have 9 wins? Really?
I can see it.
I watched them play. It's so ugly.
I got it.
You don't get beauty points in sports, though. This is not gymnastics.
Yeah, like, ask USC how style points look today.
Yeah,
what else you got over there, Chris? I'm serious. What else?
You know who's beautiful? Oh, I love this man so much. A.J. Brown is the best wide receiver in the NFL.
You know what? I how can you call that an overreaction? How can you do that? How can you do that?
Fifth straight game, 125
plus. Here's more of an overreaction, if I may. May I tinker with this a little bit here? Trading away A.J. Brown, worst trade for the worst trade made in the last 10 years.
Well, nothing's going to top the Trey Lance trade for the draft pick.
But what makes it worse is how it leaves you. The result of you trading somebody like that away.
Sure.
You know, the Trey Lance trade, it's like, we'll still see if Trey Lance does anything.
Well, it helped.
And again, the Niners,
Miami.
Both the coach and general manager just got contract extensions. Well-deserved, by the way.
No, the GM honestly, got fired.
Honestly, name me another one. I know we're spitballing here in the middle
Claypool
of the segment.
The trade's pretty bad.
What, a second-round pick? Mm-hmm. You
it helped lose. It helped them acquire.
You lose your job.
Roquan Smith.
You're the general manager. You essentially lose your job. Your team, I just saw them. They have DeAndre Hopkins, who, you know, is going to be struggling to find more targets from either Malik Willis or Will Levis while Tannehill's in a walking boot. Come on now. And what he's doing in Philadelphia is franchise changing. Otherwise, it would be just like Jalen Hurts finding Devontae Smith, very nice, and a run game. This is a deep threat, a physical receiver who can make catches over the middle and make first down catches and make touchdown catches from anywhere on the field. So, yes, I mean, obviously Tyreek Hill is doing Tyreek things that A.J. Brown doesn't have that physical skill set. But Tyreek doesn't have the physical skill set of A.J. Brown either. So, yeah, I'll say that. I'll accept that. It's not an overreaction. I mean, it's an argument, but it's not an overreaction. What else?
And Chris, real quick, just like I told you during the break before, 19 total touchdowns for the Tennessee Titans since they got rid of A.J. Brown. 27 different receivers. A.J. Brown has 14 on his own.
How about them apples? What else, Chris?
Insane. Apologies to the Chicago Bears. The Bears are quickly developing a Justin Fields problem.
That's an overreaction. I know Tyson Bagent, Division II.
Bagent looked good.
Right, I know.
I
get it.
Beat down the Raiders yesterday. Look, they have.
Then what was last Thursday? What was two Thursday nights ago?
Outlier.
Outlier.
They have the first overall pick, which is Carolina's currently, and they have their own pick, which is the third overall pick. They got big decisions to make coming up.
We'll see. That's not a problem. That's a first-class problem.
It's a problem.
If you put your entire eggs in Justin Fields' basket.
Which they have for the time being.
For the time being, but there's a way out of it. I'll for the moment saying it's not a problem. Look at the way that he got injured. You know, when he hurt his thumb. Mm-hmm. It's just like the play was so over, and he's trying to do something stupid with it. It's just, he's got to just play a little bit more for himself. And take care of yourself, man. Come on. Get out there and use your weapons and be smart about it. And look at what Tua does. Back foot, get it out.
Quick.
And then, you know, hopefully they'll have better run schemes. I don't know. All I'm saying is I don't think it's a problem. You got one more?
All right, last one. I know we're going to talk college in about 10 minutes. Judging the way the quarterbacks looked over the weekend, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Whoever has the first pick in the draft should just take Marvin Harrison Jr. and forget about it.
Okay. You're talking about Maserati, Marvin?
Maserati Marv.
Yeah, buddy.
He's going to the Hall of Fame. Okay.
Okay.
I'm already calling that now, so take number God. One.
Take Can we stop
one
with
and
this?
Forget about it. Come he's on. He's the best player in the
is already working on his mold for his
season. He's the best player in college football.
You guys.
Already, take him number one.
Already, by the way, do you see how all the victory laps the Buckeye fans are taking right now? Because C.J. Stroud had a great first month and a half as a quarterback in the NFL. Oh, we finally got our guy in the NFL. 6 weeks in. Okay. He's done a terrific job. He's rookie of the year as far as I'm concerned. But all that other stuff, let's place it aside. Marvin Harrison Jr. is supremely talented. In the same way that I'm wondering, how the hell did the Chargers not mark Travis Kelce? Hey, Penn State. 18, circle him. All right?
I was like, do something with this guy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. He is supremely talented, but take him over a quarterback? Okay.
Yeah, because we know what's going to happen with Marvin Harrison.
Crapshoot. Okay. We know this kid's amazing.
Yeah. Like I said, he's going to the Hall. Chris and I have already talked about this.
Okay, you guys.
We don't know what the quarterback is.
He's awesome. He wears number 18 in 18 years. We're going to Canton.
Okay. Does he wear 18 for his dad's quarterback? Is that where he wears 18?
Might be.
Good one.
He probably was catching passes from Peyton. That's why his hands are so good.
Take him number one.
He is amazing. He is amazing, but over quarterback?
Sure.
Have you seen the way those guys played over the weekend?
Okay.
Very good. I wouldn't even take Caleb in the first round.
That's called an overreaction. Thank you. What a way to finish up.
So what's that? Is that it?
How could you not? Of course it's not it. It's not it. We've got a podcast. He's only getting warmed up.
I'm just heating up, baby.
He's got a dozen more takes for me that we're going to be doing on the Rich Eisen podcast set as soon as we're done. Every single Monday, check out Overreaction Monday with yours truly and Chris. And then, of course, What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, which set a record for all of our downloads on our podcast RSS feed over the weekend. Susie and Amy's guest is Warren Sapp, the QB killer, on Tuesday. That's right. 99 in their program and one in their hearts on Tuesday. Still here on the Roku channel, everybody. Still here.
Still alive.
Not going anywhere.
Marvin, I love it.
He's good.
Can you cover him, man?
You can't. You can't guard Marv.
So,
he's in a Maserati.
Hold on a second. Eberflus just called Justin Fields doubtful for Sunday Night Football. Tyson Bagent.
Oh, he's back.
Against the Chargers in front of the whole country.
That's a winnable game for them.
Why did they not flex that? What are we doing?
Because the Bears fans watch television. Yeah.
They'll be all right.
Justin Herbert.
I mean.
Dude, if the Chargers lose to Tyson Bagent.
Oh,
to go to 2-5 at home.
Save it for the pod.
Before Monday Night Football at the Jets.
Save it for the pod.
Over the top, baby.
Save it for the podcast, please.
Congrats to this kid. How cool is that?
It's amazing. Man. He got the game ball in the locker room.
He should.
It was awesome.
I mean, he earned the spot on the team. He earned the spot to be backing up Justin Fields, and he winds up in a game against the Raiders, and he played very well.
Yeah.
Very well. That is exactly why we follow sports, is stories like that. Now, he is gunning for Justin Herbert and the Chargers to send him the 2-5, and the Bears would have a better record with a win, by the way.
Well, the Bears fans are pissed. They don't want to win either.
They don't want to win either. Yeah, I was going to say.
What do they care? They got Carolinas in their back pocket.
Yeah, you want
what do they care?
Bears are doing. The Bears are fine.
What do they care?
Greedy. You want both picks.
You want both picks.
Okay, very good. Jeez. Hour three, phone lines lit. Kind of love it.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams. If you ask me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast. Wherever you listen.